But we are here, and we love being here, and we'll be praying for everyone that's not feeling well, sickness, back injuries, all of the above. So last time we were here, we discussed this amazing day in the life of the Israelites as they are fighting. When it started as a big challenge. Five kings from different countries, strong kings, strong armies, gathering together, coming against the Israelites. That in itself should, put so much fear in anyone's heart. So if imagine if you are having a season of sickness, like what we just heard right now, right? And you go to the doctor and they say, yeah, it's not just COVID, it's cholesterol, it's diabetes, it's this, like, or if you're having a problem at work, and it's not just a problem at work, it's problem at work, problem with, your the employees, the problem with your coworkers, problem with so many things. So this is one of those things. So when we say five kings coming against the Israelites, five main problems. Like imagine any of us going against five major problems at the same time. It's scary. It's terrifying, right? But if we have God on our side, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter. They can come at us from so many directions. They will flee against us because of what God does in our life. We see that Joshua was not scared. Joshua decided, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight and I'm going to take and I'm going to and I'm going to defeat the enemy. This is a new opportunity because God is not just going to give me, what he saw isn't five kings coming to finish him. What he saw is five kings coming to get finished. And then instead of taking over one city at a time, now he's going to take over five cities. He's going to defeat five different kings. So every time we go through, many problems, you can take it one of two ways. We can take it as, this is it, I'm done, I can't get over this. Or we can take it as, oh, God wants to give me so many victories over so many things at the same time. And that's the difference between faith in God, confidence in God, and lack of faith in God. And then we saw that Joshua prayed this amazing prayer that he prayed for the day to extend, and there were some difference of views from many people. And Dean and I talked about those views. Some people say that the day actually did extend. The day was actually long. And some people say it was just a metaphor. And what we discussed was whether this was a metaphor or the day extended, my own conviction and my own belief that the day did extend. And if you weren't there last time, we saw that some of the historians, like Herodotus, one of the most well-known historian, recorded that the ancient Egyptians and the Greeks both had evidence and did had writings about a super, super long day in the history. Not only them, but also in China, there was an emperor, his name is Yu, recorded in his chronicles, recorded that there was a day that was super long, much longer than any other day. And when they tracked that emperor's history and time of reign, it aligned with the time that Joshua was in charge. And then so many other people, like in Indians, and as I said, the Greeks and the Egyptians, so many other nations recorded that there was a day in history that was much longer. And not only that, but in our current technology, in 1969, NASA's main computers, as they were tracking the past, they had a glitch because there was a day in history that was missing. And if you were here, if you were there last time, Marcelo agreed with me because he did read the same exact thing. And it shows that there was a day in history where God extended the day to give that full victory to Joshua and to the people of Israel. You and I might not have that extended day, but God can give us so much grace in our day that we can finish what we have to do. To be honest with you, and I do need your prayers for this, I'm not just saying it. Work for me lately and for the next few months will be very challenging, where I need 16 hour days. No, really, I do. But you know what? I get up every morning And I choose to say, Lord, you know exactly what I have to do. You know exactly what I have on my plate, and you will give grace. You will give grace. You will do something in my day. You know what? God can do this. And we talked about it, like sometimes when I look at Dina and I look at all the things that she does all day long, I'm like, how do you do that? And not just Dina, Dina and all the moms, you know, if you're a mom, or if you know of a mom, really look at their schedule. They do so much. That's God's blessing. Really, that's God's blessing. You know, so whether that your day is short or long, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God is using your time, every minute of it, for His glory. Joshua wasn't asking for a day to be long just to go out and party. And no, he was going, he keeps on doing God's work. As we discussed 2 weeks ago, he traveled all night and the battle in the morning. And now he's asking for the day to go longer. Who cares about sleep? What matters is that I want to get the work done. Today we'll pick it up from verse 16, and we'll see what God has for us.
Okay, it says, now the five kings had fled. By the way, 16, it's chapter 10,
Oh,
verse 16.
yeah, that helps.
So now the five kings had fled and hidden in the cave of Makeda. And Joshua was informed, the five kings have been found. They are hiding in the cave at Makeda. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and post men there to guard them. But you do not stop there. Pursue your enemies and attack them from behind. Do not let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hands. So Joshua and the Israelites continued to inflict a terrible slaughter until they had finished them off. And the remaining survivors retreated to the fortified cities. The whole army returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makeda, and no one dared utter a word against the Israelites. This is a great sort of short victory, a battle that was won, one of the many that we've been going through here for, I don't know, has it been a few months now? And we're going to continue kind of going through this because God is really revealing so much to
That's
us
good.
through this time. Remember that in many of the battles, previous battles that we've sort of gone through, we see Joshua as a type and picture of who? Jesus. Right. Answer is always Jesus. So Joshua is a type and picture of Jesus, and this is no more true than it is right here. This battle is really an image of the victory that Christ has for us. It's very symbolic of that. It's Christ pursuing, going after the enemy and defeating the enemy in such with such strength and conviction, and allowing the people of God, who are the troops, are sort of an image of the people of God, going out and being able to fight and battle and be victorious over the enemy. And so as we're reading this, as we kind of go through this, remember that this is really such a clear image of what Jesus did on the cross. It's another, remember we've talked about this for months, about how really the Old Testament, it's in its entirety, speaks of one story. It knits together one master plot, and that master plot is Jesus Christ coming, dying for our sins, that are when we receive that act, that act gives us freedom over sin, over the world,
Amen.
and victory, to live on here in this earth with that power, and then one day be with him in heaven. That is the master plot right there. And everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament point to that one thing.
And remember when we started, I'm glad that Dina mentioned this, because as I was finishing and Dina was reading, I just wanted to remind everyone that we are going through the battles that the people of Israel went through to gain the promised land. You know, you and I are going through these battles as well. We go through these battles every day. We had battles of faith. We have battles of enemies coming against us in a very vicious and strong way. And we have battles that we don't know about when the enemy comes as like this poor little thing that, you know, and they trick us this way. There's so many different ways that the enemy attack us. And just like there are so many ways that the enemy attack us, God has so many ways to deliver us. It's not right for us to think that the enemy has no new ways. He's always got new ways. You know, he's always got new things, new tricks, right? But also the danger part is that sometimes we think that we need to fight the battles the same exact way, where it's not. Yeah. We just need to wait and hear what God has for us. In James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. This is something that we don't preach enough about, or we don't speak enough about, that we need to resist. God has given us that power with the powered by the Holy Spirit, powered by our relationship with God, powered by the forgiveness and the sonship received based on the work of Jesus, powered by what we have in God to resist the devil, right? Resist the devil and he will flee. So let me remind you again, those kings were originally coming to attack the Gibeonites, the people who just made a treaty with Joshua, right? They thought that they formed an unbreakable and unbeatable alliance. You know, we're five against this new nation that just came out of nowhere. Let's go after them. The plan looked really good to them because of what they saw their weapons, they saw their horses, they saw their strength, they saw their numbers, and they thought, this is it. This is a guaranteed victory. But then Joshua resisted. Joshua prayed. This is how we resist. We pray. We ask God for help. We ask God for guidance. We lean on the army around us, because Joshua didn't go on his own. He leaned on the army of believers around him. He leaned on the army and the soldiers that God gave them. So they fought, they won, they conquered, and now they're attacking the attackers while the attackers are fleeing before them. Jesus said that the gates of Hades will not prevail. The gates are not an offensive weapon, remember? The gates are what? A defensive tool. When you have a big gate around your house, why do you have a gate? It's to protect your house, right? It's to protect your business. It's to protect what you have, right? It's not an offensive weapon. It's a defensive tool. And Jesus is saying that this defensive tool is not going to stand against you. Resist and fight, and God will lead you to the victory that you have. So Joshua did exactly that. He went after them. And my prayer that you and I today will get the spirit of encouragement and the spirit of trust and faith in God, that as we resist the devil, as we resist the temptation, yes, the things that you and I been falling to, the things that I've been addicted to, God can help us and God can give us power over all of it.
Amen. In verse 18 and 19, let's read it again. It says, Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and post men there to guard them. But you do not stop there. Pursue your enemies and attack them from behind. Do not let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. I was so struck by verse 19 here. They were fleeing. The kings were hiding. The work of the enemy, what many would say, was already destroyed. That plan was already destroyed, the plan of the enemy. But Joshua said, no, you know what? Turn around and go after them. And I was thinking of how that applies to us. And really, really, how that applies to us is that we don't stop when victory seems at hand. We've got to dig deeper. And I think of this in my own life. I think, you know, sometimes when you get to a certain age in the faith, it's been more than 20 years for me, right? So I feel like, gosh, I've done a lot of digging in my soul over the years. None more than this year have I felt like God has been pushing and digging to go deeper. Why is it that there are certain things I still struggle with? Why is it that there are certain things that I still find myself getting caught up in? Even if it's like, you know, silly things or what seem like silly things, you know what? There's something behind that. There's sin behind that. There's something, if I follow the cord down to where that came from or where it originally stemmed from, there's more that God wants to heal. There's more that God wants to change in my life. I cannot be in a place of apathy or just kind of content with where I am in the faith, even if I've had great victories. And there have been great victories. God's done that. But let's pursue the enemy, pursue the things that the enemy's working in our life, even when it doesn't feel like we have to. In other words, even when we didn't make some big, huge mistake in the moment that like really revealed something that needs to be changed in our life, be in the Word of God. And when we're in the Word of God carves away at these things and will allow us to sort of dig deeper and deeper. Pursuing has to happen when you're comfortable. Pursuing has to happen when you're uncomfortable. Pursuing has to happen when things are good, and pursuing has to happen when things are bad. Pursuing the things in us that really require the Holy Spirit to touch and to change. I think of this, I feel like there's so many instances of this that I can point to, but like really, truly, I have to tell you, one of the biggest illustrations of this has sort of been in our marriage this year. And you guys have heard us sort of talk about how like God's been doing a new work in the last couple of years in our marriage. 2 years ago, to look at our marriage, you're like, oh, they've got a good marriage. You know, it's good. They're doing well. Their children seem okay and they seem okay. And things are good. But you know, we kind of got to this place where God's not after just good, you know? God's not after just good. God's after exceptional. God's after extraordinary. And so we began pursuing God in the midst of a good season, or a somewhat good season. And oh boy, did we see things come up? Did we see things come up that we just kind of like resigned to, you know, things in our marriage that we'd resigned to? I think a lot of couples sort of get to that and where it's just like, okay, well, this is just how it's going to be. We're just going to kind of move along because this is how it's going to be. Well, no, God's after something more. God's after something better and deeper because he wants to use our marriage for the work of the kingdom, for the advancement of things in our faith, for the advancement of things in our children's lives, in our church, and our, what, you know, there's so many things that God wants to do and use in you, in your life individually, in your marriage, in your parenting, whatever it might be. Ask God to help you pursue the enemy, even when the enemy's fleeing in the other direction, to go after him and dig even deeper.
This is great. And this is exactly what happened here, because seeing that armies fleeing or running away from the battle might trick us into thinking that the battle is done. Mm. The battle is won, but the battle is not done. Can I say that one more time? The battle is won, but it's not done yet. Okay? There is a difference. A lot of times we take the first signs of victory and we just run with it and say, this is good. Just like what Dina was just saying right now. Our marriage is good. Our parenting are good. Our finances are good. Our ministry is good. You know, you just take little things and say, this is good. But that's not what God is after, as Dina is saying. There is something else for us to do. There is a new level to reach in the kingdom of God. There are new souls to be won. There are new battles to be won. There are new areas in my heart to surrender to God, because I am a work in progress until the day Jesus comes back or until the day I go to him. So they keep fleeing because the armies are defeated, but they're not dead yet. You know, the enemy is defeated, but he's not dead yet. He's not done yet. The battle might be won, but the work still not done yet, right? So they keep going. They keep going after them. And guess what they find? They found the place where the five kings hid themselves. So asking a question, if they didn't go after the armies, would they have found those five kings? No, they wouldn't. And guess what would happen? The five kings would hide. The battle, everyone would go home. The five kings will regroup. They go back to their cities. They gather their armies. They come back with a better plan and attack you again. But because Joshua and the Israelites were not satisfied with the battle that was won and going after the war that needs to be done or to finish up the enemy, they found something hidden. This, how does that relate to you and me? As we keep pursuing God, as we keep pursuing our weaknesses, as we keep pursuing the things we fall into all the time, God will point out where the five kings are. God will point out where the main weaknesses are. God will point out where the enemy gathers or the enemy has a hold of a certain area in your life and my life. God will go to the source of the problem, reveal it to you and to me until he fixes it. So God, the armies are fleeing. They found the kings. So Joshua, in his wisdom, goes, I need you to put a large stone on top of that cave. And not only that, but post guards on that cave. Joshua, just take care of the kings right now. You know, if you kill the kings, this is the biggest victory ever. He's like, no, there is more than this. I will hold them somewhere captive. I'm going to hold these thoughts somewhere captive. Not only that, but I'm going to guard them. I'm going to put guards. I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters. I'm going to ask someone to keep me accountable, to hold guard over these areas in my life. And let me pursue the other things that I don't have control over yet. And then I will come back to that later. See, Joshua wants is after a complete and total victory. He is after doing something that was not done before. He was after not just defeating the army at this battle. He was after going to the cities where they were coming from to gain those places. You know, a lot of us get excited by attending a prayer meeting or a Bible study or a strong message on Sunday or going to a good retreat. That's all wonderful. That's all great. But the battle does not end there. The battle ends when in silence, in alone, by myself, and some of the things that I used to be addicted to, some of the things that I used to, you know, be so weak against are those things that are no longer a problem for me anymore. Some of the thoughts I have, my thought life, you know, my anger, my fear, my whatever it is, that not only I have them under control in front of people at church or when things are great, but I want to attack them when things are really bad, when things are really, really bad. A couple of weeks ago, we just went through one of those days, you know, that are just very, very challenging. Literally got up in the morning to our car being stolen and just one thing after another. But at the end of that day, we were literally praising God all day long. I'll tell you the truth. This was not us, not even 6 months ago. Definitely not us over 2 years ago. But we just got together and said, we're going to praise God over everything that we're going to go through today. Because nothing that we're going through today surprises God. This was a battle. This was a battle, you know, that we would have lost just a few months ago, you know. But God gave so much grace. And that's because God came to these deeper places in our heart where we are now operating by faith, where we are convinced that God is in complete and total control. This was an area that we had never seen in our lives. This was a distance we have never went. We were good on Sunday morning. We were good on Wednesday night. We were good when things are great and the and the kids are behaving and the games are won, and we were good then. But when something bad happens, oh man, it brought the ugly. You know what? It was time to pursue. It was time to go after these things. You know, it's time to go after the deeper issues in our lives. And God does not get tired. The more you tell him, I want to walk this with you, I want to pursue this, he keeps pursuing it with us. He never says, you know what, can I catch my breath? No, you're the one that says, can I catch my breath? God does not need to stop or catch his breath. So found the kings because he's pursuing, put a large stone, he locked them in. Those sinful, horrible things in my life that were always coming against me, that always had alliance against me, are now locked in with guards and guarding them that they cannot flee. And guess what? I'm not taking a break. I'm going to keep going after something else. That victory that we had 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, because our day started really bad, but we were so encouraged and we were in faith and we're literally praising God all day long, right? That wasn't enough. There is more. There is more. This is just holding these kings captive, holding these thoughts of fear, these thoughts of who's to blame, these thoughts of what went wrong, what did we do wrong? No, these thoughts are gone. Now let's pursue something else. You know, let's pursue humility. Let's pursue praising God and really be encouraged and showing our kids that, yeah, today is a tough day, but you know what? We have faith in God that all things will work together for our benefits. Actually, all things have already worked together for our good. Not will work, it's already been designed to work for our best.
That's right.
And also not to celebrate too early. You know, if he had killed these kings and were done, that's celebrating too early. No, I want to go after the army. I want to go after the cities. I want to go after it. Everything that these kings held captured in my life.
Asam talked about posting guards in front of
the cave.
And I think we should sit on that for a second, because really it speaks to something that's very important. And that is that we really can't do these things without others.
That's right.
That it can't be done alone. When there's something, the major five here that are captured in the cave, that have been identified, God has identified those things in my life. I can't just, proclaim victory because I know what they are and know that God wants to give me victory over them. No, I've got to ask people to help.
That's right.
I've got to, so if one of those big five was like a struggle against lying or a struggle against an addiction to something, maybe an addiction to alcohol or drugs, maybe going to a bar is not a great idea, you know, and maybe I need to have somebody who holds me accountable to that. Maybe I need to post guards in front of my heart, and posting those guards comes in the form of others helping us through those moments, difficulties, so that we can go after the scattered enemy, so we can dig deeper. So we're not constantly going back to the cave where the big five are, you know, trying to fix that problem, because that's what's going to happen. If that's not really locked in and sealed and taken care of, and you're posting guards over those big things, those big issues that might be a part of your life, you're really not going to be able to dig deeper and go after the scattered enemy, right? The things that really God wants to take and hone in on. It's important to sort of put these things in place so that God can use us in the way that he wants to.
Yeah.
Also, just another thing, you know, I've said this before, I've spoken this before, but it's just one of my favorite analogies. It's the, what do you get when you squeeze a lemon, right? That question. What do you get when you squeeze a lemon? Well, a lot of people say lemon juice. The truth is you get whatever's inside, right? If there's seeds inside, you get seeds inside. If there's, you know, juice inside, you get juice inside. If things are rotten, you get something rotten inside. And That's sort of what happens when there's pressure applied in our life. And here Joshua shows us what happens when pressure was applied in his life. And it didn't just come out of nowhere. There have been a few battles. We've talked about them, right? We've talked about the battles that they've won and battles that they've lost, like Ai, and things that that God has reminded them of. There's been a work towards this. It didn't just happen that Joshua was like, hey, put the stone on this cave, get these five kings. And you know what? We're going to go after all of them. We're going to eliminate them. We're going to annihilate them. You're going to have victory over it. And I'm going to see it through. That didn't just happen. Joshua there was pressure applied to him. And because God had already done a work in his life, what came out was something really great. In verse 20, we read, Joshua and the Israelites continued to inflict a terrible slaughter until they had finished them off, and the remaining survivors retreated to the fortified cities.
So we see here that Joshua wasn't satisfied again by capturing the kings. He wanted to go after the whole thing, right? And we see here that the kings are guarded by a stone, and then the rest of the armies there's a terrible slaughter inflicted on them. But remember, Joshua and the Israelites had to go through terrible pain one day. Remember the circumcision?
Yeah.
They had to go through terrible pain themselves to be able to experience this amazing victory. A lot of times we want the victory. We want to inflict terrible pain on the enemy without putting ourselves into that terrible, terrible pain, without putting our own flesh into that terrible pain for ourselves. We want to capture the enemy, but we don't want to capture our thoughts. We want to capture the enemy, but we don't want to capture our raging lusts after everything. Mm-hmm. We want to capture the enemy. We want to do all of that. But we see here that Joshua and the people of Israel went through that pain. It's much easier to go through the pain that we go through while we're circumcising the heart, while we're circumcising our heart, better than receiving the pain that the world gives. You know, the difference between the Joshua and the Israelites and the other people, these people circumcised their hearts. They trusted God. They were following God, and the others weren't. Those people went through pain with God first, and now they're experiencing victory and freedom. The other one lived as large as it can be, and now they're receiving the eternal pain.
Amen.
So they insisted on going after everyone, and no one that survived. And also, while they're pursuing, the remaining survivors retreated to the fortified cities. What does that tell you? That there is more battles to win. What does that tell you? That our Bible study is not done yet. That we have more battles to win. What does that tell you and me? That when you have a season of victory, that's great. But just a reminder, there is more to be won. Jericho was not the only fortified city. You know, Ai was not the only battle. There is more to come. What does that tell you and me? We need to stay humble before God, because today's Bible study might be great, right? Tomorrow, I'm going to have a battle. The day after, I'm going to have a battle. This week was great. The kids were behaving. Everyone was great. Work was great. We're all of it, right? That's not the end of it. Tomorrow, the day after, there will be a battle, because there are more fortified cities, because we are here on this earth to have God in us and to take him everywhere. There is a purpose for us. Every single day that I learned, I've been doing this spiritual exercise, and I encourage you to do it as soon as you wake up. As soon as you wake up, okay, you say, Lord, I know I have a purpose for today. You allowed me to wake up this day. I have a purpose. It's the first thing I'm learning to say, and it's the first thing that I say, I know there is a purpose for today, and you're going to equip me for it, then I'm ready for it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to train. I'm ready to be a husband. I'm ready to be a father. I'm ready to be an employer. I'm ready to be a customer even. I'm ready to be whatever it is you want me to be today. Today is a day that is full of purpose and full of grace. Mm-hmm. You know, they keep pursuing. They found the kings, and they also found that there are more fortified cities to take.
Verse 21, and then the whole army returned safely to Joshua in the camp of Makeda, and no one dared to utter a word against the Israelites. Here we see the enemy really put in its place. I mean, this was probably a group that was shouting and hollering and getting ready to deliver what they thought was going to be the blow that kills, that gets rid of the Israelites. And instead, what happened was they were scattered, they were killed, they were destroyed, every last one of them. And no one dared utter a word about the people of Israel. And God has a really incredible way of silencing the enemy when he's doing a work in our life, a battle that's been won, a victory that's been won. There's a great story that I read a long time ago, actually. It was an anecdote, but it was basically about this woman who loved the Lord with all of her heart. And she lived next door to an atheist. By the way, we live next door to some atheists. And this woman loved God with all of her heart, but was really going through some very challenging financial times. And so she would, every single day, she would walk out of her door and she'd say, God, I know you have provision for me. God, I know you have good things for me. And her atheist neighbor heard her all the time. One day she was out and loud enough that he could hear. And she said, God, you know what I need. You know what my needs are. We need groceries. Would you provide? And her atheist neighbor had been telling her, who are you speaking to? You're speaking to this imaginary thing in the sky. God does not exist. And so to prove his point, the next day he went to the grocery store, grabbed some groceries, put it on her door and rang the doorbell. And when she opened up the doorbell, she said, thank you, Jesus. And she started crying, and he jumps out of the bush and he goes, aha, see, I told you. I was the one who did that, not God. And she looked at him and she goes, so you think. The point is that the enemy is silenced. Mm. And really, as victory is given to us, you are going to see the mouth of your enemy shut.
Yep. And not only that, but you hear here something really amazing. It says that they returned safely. This is a very important point to focus on, that the whole army returned safely, because a lot of times we want to work for the kingdom. We want to do things for the kingdom, but we allow it to get to us where it actually hurts our families, or it hurts us, or it hurts our relationships. But the good sign of a victory led by God is not only that we are defeating the enemy, but we're also returning safely to be the husband I'm called to be, that I'm not neglecting my family while I'm doing something for the Lord, not neglecting my brothers and sisters, not neglecting people's feelings, not neglecting the things that God has for me. They returned safely. This is very important for all of us, you know, to learn and to see what a full battle that is won by God looks like. You defeat your enemy, you pursue, you find surprises on the way, and then you return safely. Anything else?
No, amen.
Well, that's what we have for today. We'll open it up for comments and questions for Pastor Al.
How about I have a question for you?
Then Sandra will answer.
You kind of zoom out of this particular chapter. It would seem to me, I'm kind of processing this with you right now. It would seem to me that God could have given Joshua and the Israelites the entire land without any battles at all.
Yeah.
Like, he could have wiped out all of their enemies, because in a previous section it says, and more were killed by God than were killed by the people.
Correct.
Right, exactly.
So he could have wiped them all out and gave them just a clear land that didn't have any wild animals. It was just like perfect and ready to go. But the battle, seems to me, was part of the process. It was part of their protection. The battle that they were going through was part of their protection. And then I thought about King David, where it says in the spring when kings go out to battle, David stayed behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That story would have been very different had David gone to war.
Yeah.
So when there's a battle that's allowed into my life, again, I'm just processing this out loud because I'm hearing you and I'm gathering these thoughts together. When God allows a battle into my life, or in this case, they're like, the kings are coming, let's get them. You're actually in pursuit now. I heard you guys say that, you know, things were good a couple of years ago, but you're pursuing better. You don't want to just settle for good. You're pursuing better. And God's been allowing things to come up and you're further along than you were before. This is for your protection. This is for your I think protection is the best word. And so this is really then a gift from God. These battles then become a gift from the hand of God. And I become a co-laborer with Christ. I become a co-laborer with God in discovering what these kings are and what they represent in my life so that I can get to the root. Because you talked about the string, the thread that leads back to the original.
Yeah.
You know, like if there is a bit of anger or something, that might lead me back to something that's much, much deeper. And so just to find victory and to go from a place of victory and power into a greater level of victory and power and influence and so on and so forth. So I could look at my obstacles, my challenges as woe is me, or I could look at my challenges as this is an opportunity.
Yeah, right. So good. What a different view on battles.
When that person rubs me the wrong way and they really get under my skin and I get a reaction, that really could be an opportunity rather than a distraction.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
When I find myself getting nervous or anxious about something, that can really be an opportunity rather than a problem. I just couldn't help but think about that as you guys were walking through this passage.
So
and just the pursuing. I mean, he was like an active pursuit. You would think if they're on the run, let them run so I can rest.
Right.
There is no resting in the kingdom of God. There is no resting until we reach our final destination. Amen. In heaven.
Yeah,
that's so good.
I'm not sure where the question was and all that, but there you are.
No, there's better than a question. That's really great insight. Thank you.
So Sandra's going to answer us now. I'm not sure. Sandra?
I'm starting to feel like that lemon.
Oh. Well, it's good. It's good. That's a good.
You know, in Numbers 14, when the people of Israel started complaining, they sent the spies, 12 spies. 10 of them came and said, there is absolutely no way. We cannot do this. It's a disaster. But then Joshua and Aaron came back and said something amazing. They said, why are you upset? This land is amazing. And the people that are there, they are our bread, or we will be able to devour them. What does bread do to us when we eat it? It fills us up. It gives us strength, right? Now we look at bread, it makes us, you know, fat, but that's not the truth. What the Bible said about bread, it gives us energy and it gives us strength. So Joshua and Aaron looked at the battle as a source of energy and source of fulfillment. You know, God can, just like Pastor Al said, God can completely wipe out anyone he wants, like this whole nation, right? The problem isn't the people of the land. The problem is the heart. And God is taking them from one battle to another. And as we're seeing, he's going through these battles. What is coming up through these battles? Things are coming up that God wants to heal them from. Just like we go to the surgeon or go to the doctor and we are put under this really obnoxious machine that makes us all feel so fearful for our lives, the MRI or the CT scan or whatever. This isn't to scare us or to give us anxiety. This is to reveal what's inside of us, what the problem is. So every battle, just like we saw, every battle revealed something for the Israelites. Every battle you and I go through reveals something. And not so God can point the finger at you and me and say, oh, look at this, you're this or you're that. No, it's for God to say, look, you have this issue. I want to help you take it out of your life. I want to make you more and more like my son. I want to make you more and more like Jesus. That's my goal for you. That's that purpose that I have for you that I was just talking about a few minutes ago. Battles are great for us. I know it sounds challenging and exhausting, but if we know and we believe and we have faith that we are guaranteed victory, then the focus is not on whether we're going to win the battle or not, whether we're going to be okay or not. The focus is, what do you want to teach me, Lord, through this battle? What do you want to change in my heart through this battle? Is it something that I'm doing that I need to stop doing? Is it a train of thought? Is it a way of thinking? Is it more patience, more grace, more love that I need to do? What is it exactly, Lord, that you are allowing this to come into our life? What is the reason for it? Because I guarantee you, God has a reason for everything, every single one of them.
Confession. There's nothing in my flesh that wants that.
No, right.
My old nature really wants to be in Hawaii hanging between two palm trees and, you know, relaxing.
Yeah.
I don't want problems. I don't want issues with people or with finances or with health or with anything else. I want to be as relaxed and as comfortable as possible. That's my flesh.
Yeah.
But there's another part of me, my spirit, that hears what you're teaching tonight and goes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It just sits right.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the spirit realm, we know, listen, the only way to find victory is to deal with these issues and to tackle them head on and to allow the Lord to bring the victory in us first. Because you mentioned how they were circumcised first. Because
right.
I can't have external victory without having internal victory first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I get excited in my spirit when I hear that, going, okay, Lord, I'm ready for this. But the reality is there's a war going on.
Yeah.
There's a wrestling going on. A big part of me is saying, I don't want problems tomorrow. Like, can I please just have an easy week, please? Just one.
So what I'm understanding is that so sometimes God put us like in a battle for some reason, or, you know, when things happen in your life, like Pastor Al said, you don't want to deal with problems, but problems come. Is maybe God put us in that situation to make us stronger?
Absolutely. God allows it to make us stronger. You know, God allows it to reveal what's, you know, to strengthen us in so many areas and to also heal us. It's not just to make us stronger, but also to heal us, you know,
and to change us.
And to change us.
Yeah.
You know, I give this illustration of going to the gym all the time. And when you have a coach and a trainer that keeps pushing you to do one more repetition, one more burpee, one more push-up. It's not that the coach hates you or wants to make your life miserable, but he wants that weakness to leave your body. He wants to stretch those muscles and to make them stronger and bigger. So next time it will be easier for you, and the following time will be easier, and then till the next challenge. So God allows, you know, these things into our lives because he wants to heal us. He wants to reveal things to us. He wants to change us. And definitely he wants to make us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a caveat to that answer, in that not every challenge or problem or battle that comes into my life is designed by God.
Right.
Some of these things are simply the result of my poor choices. Like, I've made some bad choices in the past.
Yeah.
And things are now beginning to creep up, and I'm reaping what I've sown, you know? So not every challenging issue in my life is, you know, God is bringing it to me. Some things I'm just reaping what I have sown.
Yeah.
But other things that I did not participate in, when they're brought on me, then exactly what Aslam was saying.
That's right.
Yeah, like in this situation that what we're reading, God could have just make them win without them fighting, you know, the battle, right?
Right.
So he just put them to fight, maybe to make them stronger, or maybe they were like Joshua was saying, that he was scared. Don't be scared, you know, be brave. So I was just saying, maybe sometimes things that we go through, like your car being stolen, you know, you will say, well, why? Maybe God made it, you know, someone to steal it for some reason so you could praise all day long or something. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and when we look back on the battle, for example, of AI, that's more of a, you know, what happened before that battle was really an indication of something that they had done, the people of Israel had done. And the consequence of that was that they lost, right? They had, you know, stolen and kept and hoarded some of the plunder from the previous battle. And when they did that, when they went into the battle, kind of thinking all was good, it wasn't. And they lost that battle initially. And so that's really, that kind of points to like what Pastor Al said, there are things that happen in our life that are really a direct consequence of something we did that we have to kind of deal with, because they are. And then there are things in our life that God allows so that we can become stronger and change. There is the light.
I saw something. I said,
About that time. Anybody have anything else?
It's anytime Dahlia steps into the room, that's what happens.
She turns on the light. Or she is the light.
That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, got it.
We got it.
I know. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you so much. Next week we will move on to the next battle at hand. Looking forward to it.
All right, Pastor Al, can you pray for us, please? And let's pray for all those who are sick, whether it's COVID, cold, back injuries.
Lord, thank you for the clarity that you brought tonight. Thank you for the truth, Lord God, that you are showing us that you are a God that wants to bring victory into our lives, into every area of our lives, Lord God, and you allow these battles in to strengthen our arms and to strengthen our hearts and to strengthen our minds and to bring clarity and to bring revelation of who you are and to bring sanctification and cleansing and holiness into our life, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would give us the heart not to complain or grumble in the process, but to face these challenges dead on and to surrender them to you, Lord God, because you give the strength and you give the victory. And so, Lord, we just surrender every battle that we are facing right now, battles in our minds and our hearts, battles in our physical bodies, Lord God, battles in finances, battles in family situations, battle in ministry, whatever it may be, Lord God. I just pray that your wisdom would go before us, that you would teach us and show us what we need to do, how we need to handle things, so that we can win and find the victory that you have in store for us. Lord God, tonight we lift up every person who wasn't able to attend or is not feeling well due to COVID or cold or anything else, Lord God, that your hand of healing would go out and touch every person, Lord God, from the top of their head down to the sole of their feet and bring them to complete and total restoration and health and healing. We thank you for it. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Right, everyone.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.